considering God's word on the topic the bride has made herself ready. And how many people belong to the bride of Christ here this morning? If you have not yet belonged, I ask you to try and belong today. Tomorrow may be late. I also, like Brother Bumia said, bring greetings from Brother Paul and Mommy Kate. Is with us. Both of them are with us in the spirit. And we look forward to seeing them physically very soon in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we believe the Lord for them that for many more years, they will be active with vigor, with great vision, leading us in the expansion of God's kingdom on earth in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I also would like to thank all the pastors, all the leaders of the church in the U.S. for your sacrifice, for your selflessness in the service of God. Thank God for your lives. Let's put our hands together for our pastors and our leaders. I welcome once again those who have traveled from outside Maryland to be here, our leaders from outside Maryland. And in particular, our leaders from outside the U.S. who are here today. We really, really appreciate you. Brother Shayo Akintola, can you stand up for recognition? He's one of our international pastors from the U.K. He's here just for the conference. Brother Jonathan Adeoye from Jamaica. We have Brother Peter Elvin from India. Although he's here in Chicago for a few months. And that is not to say that others are not recognized, but these are the ones I'm aware came from far. Whether you came two miles away or 2,000 miles away, the Lord appreciates you, and we all appreciate you. I want to thank a particular group of people, especially here, and welcome them, the young folks. If you are under 20, please stand up for recognition, under 20. Under 20. I could see a number of them here. Please come. Please come. Come. Let's clap as they come. Please come. Under 20, please come. Let's clap for them. These ones are our future. We want to let you know we love you and that the Lord Jesus loves you. Go back to your seats. I will clap for them again. I don't know about here, but back in Nigeria where I live, youth under 30 are over 70% of the population. Yes, that's the truth. The demography in Nigeria is shifting very, very fast, that we have a preponderance of youth all over. And these ones are not only our future, they are now. And I pray that the Lord will keep you loving God and serving him in the name of the Lord Jesus. How many people know the Lord is here? If you can't see with your physical eyes, it doesn't remove the fact that he's there. It says, where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of them. So can we just welcome him into this place, welcome him in your preferred language, either borrowed or acquired language or natural language, native tongue, or in unknown tongues. Just acknowledge the presence of the Savior. Just close your eyes. I would advise and just switch to the Spirit. As you see the Lamb upon the throne and you worship him, the King of Kings. The Bible calls him the ruler over the kings of the earth. He's here in our midst, as mighty as he is, he has chosen to be here this morning. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of our praise. To you as we grace. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. We acknowledge you, the ruler over the kings of the earth, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Deliverer, our Lord and our Master, Jesus Christ. Thank you for loving us and saving us. Thank you for dying for our sins, the sins we owed, the sins we committed that we could never have paid for. You died for all. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. We are grateful for the gift of the breath of life. Thank you that we are called by your name. And Lord, as we gather in your midst this morning, we ask more than ever before that you will fulfill your good counsel and that you will reveal your mind to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you. Yesterday in the evening, we had an ordination service. We would like to conclude it this morning as we call out for ordination as an ordained minister in the New Covenant Church, Sister Felicia Ashoyi. Sister MC, can you join us here?
Precious Father, we lift up your daughter into your hand. It pleases you, Lord, to set her aside, to be ordained for the work ahead of her. Therefore, this morning, we pray that your wisdom, your greater grace will be available for her to be able to tap into the will of God the Father. You will know what you want her to do and what you will want her to do for the church. Father, we pray for the enablement to be able to do it. Prompt obedience to be pleasing to the Lord. For the rest of your life, you will be a pleasure to him. And the Lord will use you adequately to the glory of his name. And we pray for you that the Lord is depending on you. You will not disappoint him. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed.
Amen. Dear Lord, behold your precious daughter in whom you are well pleased. We ask afresh and anew that you fill her with love for you. That out of her innermost being will flow the rivers of love. That through these rivers of love, many, many will come to know you. That, Lord, she will be so transparent that people will see Jesus in her and will desire to serve you. Pray, dear Lord, for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Pray for a large heart, a mother's heart, to accommodate all that you will bring under as influence. Pray through her and her family, your kingdom will be expanded. Pray she will bear fruit for you and her fruit will abide. I ordain you, Sister Felicia, into the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Congratulations. Can we turn in our Bible this morning to the letter of Paul to the church in Ephesus, chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3. Read verses 17, 18, and 19. Ephesians 3, 17, 18, and 19. These three verses of scripture contain a prayer of Paul to a particular church. And that's the prayer we'll be praying for ourselves today and we'll be speaking on. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17, 18, and 19. Paul praying. He said, I pray that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. What a prayer. I was speaking briefly today on the subject, the love of Christ. The love of Christ. Paul said he wasn't in this church at this time. He had founded the church and he was overseeing the church. So he was praying. He wrote a letter to them. My brothers and my sisters, I do not cease to pray for you that you will comprehend the love of Christ. My brothers and my sisters, for those of us who are already believers, that makes a great difference, a world of difference. Our understanding, our knowledge, our ability to appreciate the love of Christ. And to those who are yet to know the Lord, that makes a difference. Knowing the love of Christ brings you to the kingdom of God. It says, I wish that you were able to comprehend, understand, appreciate how wide, how deep, how long, and how high the love of Christ is. Because it surpasses human understanding. You cannot know all this through your intellectual ability. You cannot comprehend through your ability to reason. It is only if the Holy Spirit will reveal supernaturally to your spirit man the love of Christ. The love of Christ is so wide that it covers everyone. It says, I pray that you will be able to comprehend that love of Christ. It passes human understanding. So I want to talk about the width, its depth, its length, and its height first. The love of Christ is so wide that it covers everyone. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that whosoever, can we say whosoever? Without any exception, black, white, tall, short, man, woman, or those who do not know whether they are men or women, whoever, as long as they are the creature of God, they are covered by the love of Christ. God does not want anyone to perish, but to come to the knowledge of Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, without any exception. No wonder the woman caught in adultery was brought before the Lord Jesus. People were expecting Jesus to say, stoner, that's what the Lord says. It says, he that has not committed any sin should throw the first stone. And Jesus took that opportunity to save her. Go and sin no more, he said. A woman caught in the very act of adultery. Can you remember the two criminals? One at the right, the other at the left of Jesus at Calvary. Maybe they were murderers that killed people. They were going to be sentenced to death. They had been sentenced to death. They were going to be killed. And one of them said to Jesus, "Jesus, Lord, Lord, please remember me when you get to your Father's kingdom." And Jesus said, "Today, today, today, you will be with me in paradise." He was saved at the last minute. It's never late for anyone to be saved. If the founder of ISIS will meet the Lord Jesus today, he will be saved. Those terrorists who bomb, if they will bow at the feet of Jesus today, they will be saved. It's whosoever. Can you imagine the writer of this scripture? Saul of Tarsus. Very, very intellectual, very, very zealous and passionate, very self-motivated. He didn't need anybody to advise him what to do. He knew what to do at any time. He will go to the leaders of the Jews and say, please, there is somebody praying there or talking in the name of Jesus. Give me authority to go and kill him or to go and bring him to prison. And it was on one of those such trips on the road to Damascus that Jesus appeared to him. Before then, he was the godfather of those who killed the martyr, Stephen. The Bible said those who went to kill him, to stone him to death, cast their outer garments at his feet. "We are going to kill him." He said, "Go." They went to kill. They came back to report. He said, "Well done, murderer." Can you imagine a murderer being saved? A murderer becoming a brother. The width of the love of Christ has no end, has no limit. You can't write anybody off. Anyone who confesses Jesus as Lord and Savior will be saved. However bad the past has been, however terrible the life he or she has lived, says, "I wish you will comprehend." So for you and I, we shouldn't write anybody off. If the Lord wrote you off, will you be here today? If you happen to know what I've done before, if you heard I was the one that was going to preach today, you wouldn't come to church. But thank God for Jesus. His atoning grace, his love, the width so wide that he covers everyone. It says the depth of his love. The love of Christ is so deep that it cost Jesus his life. The salvation we enjoy may be free. It didn't come cheap. Somebody died that you may live. No wonder this St. Paul wrote to another church in Galatia, Galatians 2:20. He says, "I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me." He says, "The life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life, gave himself for me." Oh, my brother and my sister, you are living a borrowed life. Somebody died that you may live. Jesus did not go unconscious. He did not go into coma. He died. So we many times we live carelessly because we don't appreciate the import of our Christian life. The fact that you are a Christian today is because there is somebody who was called Christ who died. And he has taken your position. He died for sins he did not commit, for sins you could never have paid for. The depth of the love of Christ. Can you imagine somebody who knew no sin at 33 arrested. They lied against him. Witnesses said, he said he was going to become a king. He was going to destroy the temple, and he was talking about the temple of his body. And they preferred a thief, a criminal to him, Barabbas. Said, release Barabbas, let's crucify this one. Put on him a crown of thorns. Whipped him mercilessly, not with ordinary whip, but with whips, with stones and metals, 39 stripes. The Bible records in Isaiah, by the time they finished with him, people could not recognize him. Battered. And then they nailed him to the cross. Nails on the arms, on the palms. That was good enough. Can you imagine on the feet, one foot upon the other? I imagine a 6-inch nail would be too short to do the job. Into the first leg, next to the second leg, next to the wood. And he was there. He didn't say anything. They said, defend yourself. He said, no, I'm dying for Yelade. I won't defend myself. Pilate said, don't you know I have the power to release you? Why don't you defend yourself? He said, no, I won't defend myself because I'm dying for Leke. And then he was put on the cross from about 9 a.m. till 3 p.m., 6 hours. From my O-level biology, I can imagine that you will have died of blood, loss of blood, exhaustion, dehydration, and eventual cardiac arrest. 6 hours on the cross, bleeding in the sun, slow, painful death. The Jews had options of how to kill him quickly. After all, John the Baptist was beheaded. In 5 minutes, you'll be gone with beheading. Even being stoned to death, maybe 1 hour, you'll be gone. But this one from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., slow, painful death. He said, I thirst. They gave him sardine, said, I don't want. At a point, he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? The only time he called his father God, because the father turned his face away from him, because the Bible records is too holy to behold sin. At that time, he was carrying your sin, carrying my sin. So the father looked away until he died a painful death. What depth of love will make a man to die for his friends? I love you so much, but if I'm asked to die for you, if I wanted to, my wife would say, are you sure you know what you are doing? But Jesus Christ did not hold back anything. He died. That was why Paul was writing, you members of the church, I hope you know how deep. I pray for you that you will know how deep that love of Christ is. It will determine how you live. It will determine your relationship with him. If a man says, greater love has no man than this, that a man will give his life for his friends. Greater love. How wide, how deep, how long. He says, I wish you would know the length, because the love of Christ is everlasting. It never comes to an end. So long that it never comes to an end. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Those steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are near. every morning, always new, every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. That's why God never gives up on anybody. His love is so long, hoping and wishing that you will come in before it's too late. Everlasting. And so no wonder this emperor wrote to the church in Rome. He said, so who can separate us from the love of Christ? Is it principalities, powers? Is it angels? He said, I'm persuaded that neither height or depth, neither angels or principalities, neither anything in this world and in the world to come will be so strong as to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Oh, love of Christ is so wide, so deep, so long, and so high that it has lifted us out of the miry clay, out of the dungeon of sin and perdition. It says in Ephesians 2, verse 6, that we are seated with him in heavenly places. Far above principalities and powers, far above mights and dominions, far above every name that is named in this world, in this age, and that which is to come. So that love has lifted us up above life and circumstances, above powers and principalities. They say, how are you? Under the circumstances, I'm fine. You shouldn't be under circumstances. You should be above circumstances. The love of Christ has lifted you above situations. When you're in the air and you look at a 25-story building, it looks like a box of matches because you are high. So, my brothers and my sisters, the question is the prayer of Paul answered in your life? Says, I pray that you'll be able to comprehend that love. Can I say that by the grace of God, I'm able to comprehend the width, the depth, the length, and the height of God's love? Because if I have, there are some things that will show in my life. If you have, there are some things that will manifest in your life. There will be an outworking of that love of Christ in your heart. I would like to share three things that should outflow from your life that will be evident in my life if we comprehend that love of Christ. Number one is that we will love Christ in return. I don't know about you, but especially when I was young, I'm not sure I'm older now, but when I was a kid, I didn't like to offend my father because he loved me. It was so clear that he loved me, and I hardly would I do anything to grieve him. Well, after I become a teenager, when I was a young one, yes, a child, maybe I did. But I started to grow 15, 16, 17 years of age, and I understood the relationship I had as the first son and the special love he had for me. I feared to grieve him. I never liked to grieve him. And Bible says in John 14, verse 15. There is one thing that will show you love Christ. It's not the brooch on your jacket. It's not the way you dress. It's not your demeanor. It's not the sticker on your car. I'm covered by the blood. It says, if you love me, obey my commandments. John 14, 15. One thing that will show you and I love the Lord Jesus if we comprehend his love, one thing that will show that we love him in return is that we would obey his commandment. So the question to you and my brothers and my sisters, and to myself, do I obey God? Or do I choose what to obey? I choose the convenient ones to obey. And I say, no, God, this is a no-go area for you.
Amen.
No, you can't touch my money. This is out of bounds. My relationship with that person, no. I love you, Lord, but that person I can never love. No. Says, if you love me, obey my commandments. When the love of Christ is shed in our hearts, one way it outworks itself is that we would cringe, we would avoid displeasing God. We would not want to do anything that would grieve him. How many people remember Joseph in the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 39? Had a great future. God said to him at 17, everybody will bow before him. He had a great future lying ahead, after which he went into plenty of trouble. Many times when you have the greater your vision, the greater the problems to prepare. So eventually from his father's house, he ended in the pit. And from the pit, he entered in Potiphar's house. And he was doing fine. There was a respite for a few years. He became like general manager of his household, controlling every other staff, like chief of staff. Then the wife of the boss set her adulterous eyes on him. Young man, come and commit sin with me. If you commit sin with me in this house, your bread will be buttered. I will speak to my husband about you. He will become managing director, chief executive. There will be nothing that you will lack as long as you agree to my bidding. He was persuading him. The young man refused. He kept on persuading him. Refused. One day, the woman was desperate. They were alone in the house. And she caught him and said specifically, come and lie with me today. In other words, today, you will fall. Desperate. Joseph said something in Genesis 39 and verse 9 that would show you and show me what was going on in her heart. Why he was able to resist the temptation. He said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? God was not there physically. Nobody was there. He didn't even talk about sinning against the husband, his own boss. He said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? That's a statement from somebody who loved God. The Bible says the love of God constrains us. When you love God, the love of God will tell you, you want to do something? No, you can't do it. It binds, it restricts you, it inhibits you, it limits you from doing certain things. People may not be there, your parents may not be there. Your spouse may not be there. Your brother may not be there. Your pastor may not be there. But God is there at all times. So when you fear God, he says, if you love me, obey my commandments. I had this story many years ago. I believe it was a true story of a man back home in my country, who was a boss in the office and wanted to commit sin with his female staff, subordinate. They will go out together on business and you will be persuading her, I can take care of you. You are married, it doesn't matter. One day they went to an hotel. He tricked her to an hotel to commit sin. And the lady said, no, I can't do this. After persuasion, the lady said, let's go to another hotel. They went to another hotel. The lady said, let's go to another hotel outside town. They went outside town, the third hotel. He said, no, boss, let's go to an hotel where God will not see us. Your wife may not see us here, but please, can you look for an hotel where God will not be able to see us? Is it possible? When you fear God, you know God is everywhere. The Bible says he searches the heart and tries the reins. Knows, x-rays your heart, knows what you're thinking, knows your plans, knows your the motivation for what you do, for what you say. If you love me, obey my commandments. John 14, 15. One thing that will show that you and I truly, truly love God is that we will try all that lies within our power to obey him. Sometimes we may fail because we are still humans. There is a difference between falling into sin and walking into sin. Falling into sin is just sinning before you realized. And immediately you realize, Lord, Father, what have I done? What a mess. I'm so sorry. Repent immediately, not when you get to church on Sunday. Not when you get up at night, immediately. Wrong, sinful thought, sinful speeches, actions. Have a short account and repent immediately. That's falling into sin. You fell into it without knowing. That's different to walking with your eyes open. I will sin now and repent later. If you love me, obey my commandments. Can we say that together, please? If you love me, obey my commands. That's first thing that will outwork. If the love of Christ indeed is in our heart, we will seek to love God in return. We will seek to obey him, not 90% of the time, at all times, as much as lies within our power. And if we find out by any means we have done anything wrong, quickly we run back and say, Lord, I've missed it. Please forgive me. Please have mercy on me. Repent immediately. Confess to the Lord and repent. Second way the love of Christ in our hearts will outwork. I would like to read from 1 John chapter 4. I'll read verses 20 and 21. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 and verse 21. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. The second way, the love of Christ in our hearts outworks. It gives us supernatural, and I've said that word carefully because it passes human understanding. It gives us supernatural ability to love others. So we love one another. If it's difficult for me to love people, then it's very likely that the love of Christ is not in my heart, because an outworking of the love of Christ, it flows over to everyone around you. It says, if you say you love God and you hate your brother, you're a liar. How many liars are here? I'm not calling you liar. But the Bible says, You say you love God and you do not love your brother, or you do not love your sister, you are a liar. Because how can you tell me you love God that you cannot see physically with your eyes? And you don't love the person you see physically with your eyes. So another way it works is the supernatural ability it gives us to love one another. When you see somebody who the love of Christ is shed abroad in his heart, finds it easy to love. You see, it's just the love just overflows. The cup overflows. It can't be controlled. It can't be bottled. Doesn't say love those who love you alone. You know, Jesus gave us a paradigm shift. He said before now in the New Testament, you are asked to love those who love you. And those who do not love you, deal with them. An eye for an eye, a tooth for an eye. But you, because he says, if you now do that, what makes you different from unbelievers? From today, I tell you, love your enemies. Hello. The person that has a gun wants to shoot you, say, love him. The person you know that would want to get you into trouble, love her. The person that hates you with all his or her heart, love him, love her. So that's how you will show that you are my disciples. That's not easy for the flesh. Very, very easy to love those who love you. I remember when the Iraq war, I was watching a documentary on what's the former leader of Iraq, Saddam Hussein. I watched a documentary on him playing with his grandchildren. Say, so there are some people this man loves. There will be some people anybody loves. Osama bin Laden, before he was killed in Pakistan, he had a family. He loved them. But he could go and bomb 9/11. Could kill others. But there were some people he loved. That's human, to love some and hate others. But here, the Lord says, love even your enemy. This is how you know, you will show that you are my disciple. And that is the crux of the matter. It's very easy for you and I to love those who love us. Those who are kind, those who are pleasant, to love them in return comes almost naturally. But to love the difficult ones, to love the people I've described as the unlovables, takes the grace of God. No wonder Jesus says in Matthew chapter 18, he says, offenses must come. Is that in your Bible? So in other words, God is calling us to love people even when they have offended us. If you have not been offended this year, please raise up your hand. This year, no one has offended you. Please raise up your hand. My friends here, anyone? Because anyone who raises up his hand, I will ask you to come and pray for me. I must need prayers. See, that's why Jesus said, offenses must come. Not may, not probably. If you are still on this earth, you will be offended. People will grieve you. People will step on your toes. A few times unknowingly or subconsciously, but sometimes deliberately. It says, forgive such people. Jesus on the cross was being nailed to the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they did not know what they are doing. Did they apologize? Did they say they were sorry? Some of us say, why do you want me to forgive when he has not apologized? Is that in your Bible that you must apologize as a condition for you to forgive? It's not in my Bible. If it's in your Bible, you can come and show me. Okay, you can say Jesus was Lord. Yes. What about Stephen? Shortly after, he was made a deacon. For doing nothing, just for preaching, he was stoned to death. And at the last few minutes of his life, knew life was ebbing out of him, said, "Father, please do not lay this charge onto their account." In other words, please forgive them. Did they regret what they were doing? No. Did they apologize? No. Did they repent? No. If we're going to love one another, it means in spite of offenses, we should love them. We should forgive them. It's difficult to forgive. I've passed through that before, but the Lord helped me. Help me. People that the Holy Spirit opened my eyes to see in spiritual warfare that drew me back, did me evil, said point blank, God said, "Forgive." I wept, but I forgive. That was the beginning of breakthrough in my life. No wonder in that same Matthew chapter 18, Jesus was given a parable of two servants of the same master. One was owing, let us say, $100,000. And the boss forgave the first servant. Then a servant B was owing that servant $1,000. He said, today, you must pay my debt, what you are owing me. I'm sorry, I'll pay later. He said, no, go into prison until you find money to pay. The boss heard, I forgive you $100,000. Just $1,000, you cannot forgive your co-servant? You're a wicked man. The Bible records in verse 35 of Matthew 18 that the servant who refused to forgive another servant was handed over to the torturers. And he concluded in that verse, so would God do to everyone who does not forgive from his heart. Please, let's open there so that you will not think I'm talking theory. Matthew chapter 18. I will read verses 32, 33, 34, and 35. Matthew 18, 32 to 35. Matthew chapter 18, verse 32, 33, 34, and 35. I'll read. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. Verse 35 says, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Many today are under bondage of torturers because they have not forgiven. I've been there before. I'm not talking theory. God taught me this many years ago to forgive, and I started forgiving. Then some years later, I had issues with Christians. If you were watching the Jews video over the weekend, one of the things he said that those who offend you most are those who are close to you and dear to you, those that you have labored on. So one of them offended me. To be too personal to share what he did, but I was pained. And I thought I'd forgiven, since God had taught me to forgive many years ago, and I thought I'd forgiven that person. Then I had a night vision where I was just living somewhere, and I was put in chains. And they were leading me to the prison. And I said to the person leading me, I said, you are coming to arrest me. I was telling the man, don't allow the devil to use you to hinder me from graduating. I said to him, I've been in this college for 7 years and I'm graduating this year. So don't let the enemy use you to keep me from graduating. And I woke up. And I went to 3 days fasting. Malako satalabaha. I bind you, torturers. I bind you. He that the Lord shall set free is free indeed. Quoting scriptures. I did my spiritual gymnastics and went. Many days later, I was in the presence of God, now not fasting or praying. Lord, have you finished all your spiritual gymnastics? I told you 7 years ago that if you want to walk with me, W-A-L-K, not walk, W-O-R-K, if you want us to be friends, not just to be my servant, I will not allow you to have offense in your heart. I will not allow you to hold anyone in grievance in your heart if you want to be my friend. And I said, Lord, I want to be your friend. I said, that's 7 years ago. I said in that revelation, I'm graduating after 7 years. You don't allow. I said, now this man. I said, Lord, I've forgiven. He said, if you are forgiven, this is what you are thinking about him. This is what you are thinking about him. This is what you are thinking about him. So I knew I had not forgiven. Oh, the Lord searches the heart, he tries the reins. I went and I called a meeting because that person belonged to my team. I said, I have an announcement. I've held you in my heart because you did this. You did this. You did this. I'm sorry. God has convicted me. Pastor, did I say, you did it? And they all regretted. We prayed together. My team wept and we prayed together. And I was able supernaturally to release him. God delivered me from torturers. He says, so will my heavenly Father also do if you, from your heart, not with your mouth, from your heart, does not forgive his brother, his trespasses. Many are in the bondage of torturers because they have found it difficult to forgive those who truly hurt them. I know grace is available today. Grace is available to be released from torturers. Because when the love of Christ comes, what can't you forgive if Jesus forgave you? Are you qualified to be saved? If you remember what your parents do, what your parents did, what your grandparents did, some of our grandparents were in occult. Some were witches and wizards. And God says, he is a jealous God, visiting iniquities of the fathers on the children unto the third and fourth generation. Is that in your Bible? So you and I should legally suffer for what our great grandparents did. But the blood of Jesus says, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. So if Jesus could forgive us, why are we not to forgive others? So when we love Christ, when we have the love of Christ, we love Christ in return. Number two, we love one another. And finally, before we conclude, we love unbelievers. That may look far-fetched. But that's the reason probably why we may not be experiencing some fruitfulness in ministry. Do you know that the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do you know that Jesus died, like we said earlier, for all sinners? Every sinner, Jesus paid the price only if they will hear the gospel message and they would repent. And what the Lord is expecting is people will be saved through you. People will be saved through me. The Bible says also in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verse 10. It says, the Son of man has come to seek and to save the lost. Are you here this morning? Are you here? Please answer me. Are you here this morning? Jesus did not come to bless you. I'm not cursing you. He did not come to make you to prosper. He did not come to make you to get a bigger house or graduate in flying colors or give you a good wife or a good husband or wonderful kids. Jesus did not come to make you succeed in life. The Bible says he came to seek and save the lost. He came on a rescue mission. When there's a plane crash, they send another plane on search and rescue, isn't it? Jesus has sent you and I on search and rescue mission. To seek, that is search for, and save, that is rescue, those who are perishing. So if you love Christ, you will love what Christ loves. Let me complete my earlier statement so that you not get me wrong. When you now seek the lost, you go in search of the lost, you pursue them to save them. These other things, prosperity, success, well-being, good family, will be additions. Matthew 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these other things shall be added to you. We do not seek them. They seek us. Goodness, I want to go out. Goodness will say, no, Kemi, you can't go. I have to go with you. Mercy was goodness and mercy. Is that in your Bible? Shall follow you. Did he say you will follow them? Some days of your life? Oh, this is difficult to believe, but it is true. Maybe a few people, by the grace of God, have gotten to that stage by the grace of God, where you no longer seek things. Things seek you. What are you seeking? Oh, Lord, what is your will in this matter? How can your kingdom be expanded? How can your will be done on earth as it is done in heaven? As you are doing that, goodness and mercy are struggling to follow you. It is doable. It is possible that you seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what every other person is seeking will be coming to you in abundance. Oh, brothers and sisters, let me tell you sincerely, I've sought physical things before for many years. As a matter of fact, despite the fact that I had a very good Christian background, when I got out of home, I went away from the Lord. And things were going on fine by the grace of God. Very, very fine. I never had problems. And I was doing great. Got a job. Got married, promoted at work, everything fine. But problems came. And I came to Christ because of problems. I'm confessing before you. Because I had the impression, now when you come to Christ, problems will be solved. Year one, it wasn't solved. Year two, it wasn't solved. Year three, the problems were mounting. I had a vision one day of a man in a big house with window open, and somebody rushed in through to the window, talking to the big owner of the house inside the house. I didn't hear what they were saying. I saw the man talking, making gesticulations. And then after he ran away, the way he ran away. And the man, the big owner, was still at the window when the man ran away. And I woke up and the Lord said, that is you. You come asking for things. I want you to come inside and reside with me. I want us to know one another. You just come first and pray for things, problems to be solved. yokes to be broken. And then you do, you go back and you come back, you go, you can say, no, you are talking through the window, the door is open. I want you to walk with me. Oh, when I made up my mind, I was no longer seeking the gold of God, but the God of gold, things started changing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all, not a few, not many, not most, all these other things shall be added to you. So what the Lord wants is that we seek the lost. We pray for souls to be saved. We go out and minister to the unsaved. Not necessarily with tracts. We have them in your office. You have them in your school. You have them in your neighborhood. First of all, make friends with them. Let them see you. Let them know that you carry God. You want me to tell you an experience I had in Texas in 2018? Do you want to hear? We are rounding off now. Do you want to hear or I should round off? You want to hear? It was the week before we returned back to our country. And so my wife and family went on shopping. And a few people who know me here know that I'm averse to shopping. I like good things. But to shop more than 1 hour is. But I know somebody, don't tell her. Do you know Sister EMC? Do you know her? You know, I don't tell her. She and our daughter can shop for 4 hours. I say, on your legs? Shopping. So we shopped and we thought we had finished because we were traveling back maybe 2-3 days time. And then she said she forgot something. And now we had to go following the deliver me from. So we went very early the following morning to pick those few things. And as I was there, she was now doing, I sightsee or watch my phone while they are doing their. And a lady walked to me in Texas, 2018. Said, are you pastor? I said, I beg your pardon. Said, are you a minister of God? I said, what makes you say that? He said, yesterday you were in this shop. And I wanted to talk with you. And as I was thinking about it, you left. And I prayed, Lord, bring the man back. And the Lord used this IMC to bring me back. So nothing happens by mistake in God's plan. The lady said, yesterday was my first day at work after 1 week because I lost my husband. He was buried and I was just resuming. I was down, so down. And as I saw you, something said to me, go and talk to that man. And we started talking. I comforted her, collected her phone. For the last few days before we left, we were in touch. People need Jesus Christ. They may look self-sufficient. Everything might look okay, but it is not okay without Jesus. A life without Christ is a life of crisis. And God is expecting you to show the light. Talk to them about the love of Christ. Don't write anybody off. Do it with wisdom. Until they will hold the tip of your garment. Show me your God. I want to follow your God. Oh, I join Paul to pray for all of us, including myself today, that we may be able to comprehend the depth, the width, the length, and the height of the love of Christ, which passes all understanding. Can we stand up to pray? The first prayer, my brothers and sisters, for those who have not said yes to the Lord Jesus, if you want to be saved, you want to be born again, you want to respond to that love that Jesus died for your sin, where you are, please let's just close our eyes, my brothers and sisters. Just indicate by raising up your hand, you want to say yes to the Lord. You want to be saved today. You want to give your heart to the Lord Jesus. I would like to pray for you before we continue. I would like to be saved. Just indicate. God bless you. Just indicate. Let me see by a show of hands. If you like to accept Jesus, the substitutionary death for your sin, you want to say, Lord Jesus, I'm accepting you. Please be bold about it. Something to rejoice about. I did that some years ago. I'm the better for it today. You would like to be saved. Thank God for the hands. Thank God for the hands. Wherever you are, I would like to see your hand, please. Do not be ashamed. Do not be embarrassed. It's not a photo show. It's a matter of life and death. Mahasukaya. Thank God for those hands. Any other person, I want to see your hand up. God bless you. Any other person, I want to see your hand up, please. I want to see your hand up. Okay, if you are raising up your hand, put down your hand and just say this prayer after me wherever you are. Those of us who are already born again, under our breath, please continue to intercede under our breath, because there is a spiritual warfare going on. So those who raise up your hands, please say this after me. Dear Jesus, I come to you today, for you said, anyone that comes to you, you will not cast away. I recognize I'm a sinner and I could never pay for my sins. Jesus, you died for my sins. Now I accept your death as a substitution for my sins. Please forgive me. Create a new heart in me. From today, come into my heart and be Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. For those who have prayed, please come. I would like to pray with you. If you have prayed that prayer, just come. Come boldly. Come boldly. Yes, come. I would like to pray with you. Please come. Any other person, God bless you. If you pray that, God bless you. If you pray that prayer, just come and join me here. I would like to pray with you. If you pray that prayer, just come. The Bible says, with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, he confesses unto salvation. You have believed in your heart. You have confessed. Just come and I will pray with you. Any other person? Lord, I pray for my brother. I pray, dear Lord, that the miracle of salvation will take place in his heart. A new heart that longs and loves you, that thirsts after righteousness. Grant him comprehension, afresh and anew, of that love that passes all understanding that Jesus has for him. Pray you will keep him to the end in the precious name of my Savior Jesus. Amen. Are you here this morning? There's somebody who has offended you.